So what sort of instrument are we looking at here?
Yes, this instrument here is the vibraphone. And for clarification, this is not the xylophone.
I recently caught up with drummer and vibraphonist Jason Marsalis in his classroom at NOCA, the New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts. Jason is fresh off the release of Across the Imaginary Divide, a record on which he drums alongside Bela Fleck and Marcus Roberts. We spoke the day before he took off on tour in support of the album.
That is correct. We're going to be touring Texas. We're going to go to Austin tomorrow, Dallas the next day, then Woodlands, Texas, then San Antonio. We'll have 4 days in Texas.
We talked about the new record plus other recent and upcoming projects. I also talked him into giving me a vibraphone demonstration.
Now, there's a pedal in which I can hold down the notes and they sustain. Now, also in this instrument, you have a motor, which when you turn on, runs the resonators. And the resonators, when they run, creates a vibrato. And you can adjust the speed on the instrument as well.
So your next recording project is called A World of Mallets, and that's going to focus on the vibes, right?
That is correct. The last recording I did for Vibes was called Music Update, and
That's 2009?
Yeah, and I felt that I needed to update that, so the next recording, once it comes out, anybody that has a copy of Music Update, you can actually throw it in the trash. You won't need it anymore.
It'll be obsolete.
Yeah, it won't be any good, and don't ask me for any copies. I have no more, and I will not be ordering it again. You may be able to find it online somewhere, but I say this because with this record, one, I wanted to give time for my band members and myself to improve and sort of mature as musicians, and I wanted to get some aspects of my technique a lot stronger on the instrument. I'm still working on it, actually, but it's a lot better. I think the band members is a pianist named Austin Johnson, bass player named Will Goldberg, and a drummer named David Potter.
How would you describe the style or the sound on the record?
Definitely modern jazz, but we still deal with a lot of the basics of the music. We don't throw them out. We still deal with the elements of swing and groove. Unfortunately, a lot of guys feel that in order to be modern, they have to throw those elements out. But we don't do that. I mean, we still play ballads, and we still swing out. But we do have some twists and turns. I have a little variation on what is known as the disciplines. On my past recordings, I've done what I call disciplines, and they're simply drum overdubs, where I take drums and I overdub all these drum tracks, but they're organized in a sense where there's form and structure, and I try to make it melodic so it sounds like a very big drum ensemble. For this record, there are disciplines, but they're involving mallets. They're involving vibes, marimba, glockenspiel, chimes, xylophone, tubular bells. It's involving the whole thing, and those were a lot of fun to really put together.
So the two tracks are just entirely mallet instruments?
Yes, that is correct. It's entirely mallet instruments. That is right.
Your most recent recording project was called Across the Imaginary Divide with Marcus Roberts, the pianist, and Bela Fleck, the banjo player. How did you guys end up together for that?
Yes, it started at the Savannah Music Festival a few years ago. There was a jam session in which Marcus Roberts was playing, and the gentleman who produces the festival, Rob Gibson, had talked to Bela and said, Marcus Roberts is at this jam session. You should bring your banjo. And he really enjoyed it a lot, and so did Marcus. I actually had known about Bela Fleck's music ever since I was in high school when he was with the Flecktones. So after that, the two of them, got together and met and decided that we would do a show at the Savannah Music Festival. And after that show went well, it was decided that we would make a record.
And you've been playing with Marcus since 1994, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
How did you guys first end up together?
It was really through, man, I really first met Marcus when I was a kid. He was playing with my older brother Wenton's quartet. There was a point where Marcus, just after a while through the years, was interested in hiring me. And finally, when I was a senior in high school, at the point that my father thought that I was ready, because I'd started playing with him.
It's an unusual instrumentation having the banjo in there. How did you guys adapt to that?
Well, you just have to play through it. One thing that did help, though, is that we try to play with a wide range of dynamics, from very loud to very soft, and we've worked on playing very quiet, and so that helps when you have banjo, because banjo is percussive, but it doesn't sustain a lot, and it doesn't really carry, so you have to be dynamically sensitive to that. And so that's one thing that helped. But really, the more we played, we just got more comfortable with it.
You've done a few traditional jazz projects recently. Earlier this year, you did the Night on Frenchman Street record with Norbert Susemihl. And last year, you did the City of a Million Dreams album with Lars Ettergren and Tom Sankton. What draws you to that kind of music?
Well, I think what I enjoy is the fact that it's something different in the sense that the role is simpler in terms of what the drums do. So you have to really focus on groove. And it's helped my overall playing. It's helped my overall playing become stronger. You know, I think that my whole sense of rhythm and groove is actually a lot stronger from playing traditional. But that's the one thing that I like about it. Plus, you know, there's a lot of tunes that I learned playing that style. And it's just a fun style. And, you know, quite honestly, I think what made me appreciate that style more is some of the newer music that's been coming out of places like New York. I mean, honestly, I just have to be candid and say a lot of that music bores me because it became so much about how complex can we make it. And let's get rid of the swing element and let's have everything in 7/8 and let's have everything have mixed meter all the time, or let's have funk and rock grooves. And there's nothing wrong with those elements, but what happens is that the music becomes reduced to that. So to me, if you hear a lot of that, something like traditional jazz is fresh. Mm-hmm. It's like you're like, oh, yeah, good. This is a relief. Oh, thank goodness. My good friend of mine, tenor saxophonist John Ellis, made a great point about New Orleans. And what he said was that, you know, traditional jazz, when he hears it in New Orleans, it sounds fresh and modern. It doesn't sound old and corny.
When did you first start playing traditional music?
Oh, it was with Dr. Michael White. And Dr. Michael White and I actually started getting together in the mid-1990s. One of the funny things that I would find is when I first started playing with him, when I would walk in the room, there would be these occasions where people would look at me and say, wait, what is he doing here? He's a modern guy. Well, how is this going to work? You know, this is really funny. We played at Snark Harbor, and some guy in the audience, I don't know who it was, but it definitely was a hardcore trad fan. And I'm walking to the drums, and this guy says, this should be interesting. So then I played the set, and then I walked off the stage and saw him, and he says to me, you passed! You know, mind you, now, he didn't know that I'd been playing that music. He had no idea. Yeah. He just knew me as a modern guy. So those kind of things are hilarious. They're really funny. But that's when I first started doing it. And so after that, word started to get around, and so more guys started to call me for the traditional shows.
Well, any chance you could give us a vibraphone outro for the segment here?
Sure.